More sorry news today about our economic outlook, this time retail sales. It's the business news headlines for Friday, the 15th day of January, 5 days ahead of the inauguration. In other business news, stocks fell again today. Amazon workers in Alabama to vote on a union. Have you heard about Playtika? You will today. Closing soon? Apple stores. Wells Fargo continues to bleed cash, grocery shopping, and the pandemic. Some tips. We've got the Wall Street Report, and if you're feeling paranoid about your job, you're not alone. Also, because it's Friday, Jeff Pitts gets hyper-local and talks about stuff to do in the greater Des Moines metro this weekend into next week. Let's get going.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of Taro International, a training company that helps business leaders succeed. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. Focus and Find, socially responsible recruiting, centered on helping businesses build a diverse workforce that is both innovative and productive. FocusandFind.com. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is also supported by the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original ag parts recyclers with members worldwide. Learn more at ntpda.com. And Arion, a solutions provider, bringing unique and scalable business support services and serving for-profit and nonprofit organizations. Aurion.com.
Once again, thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yeah, as we tell you every day, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at IOB_NewsHour. Growing unemployment numbers, and now another down month for retail sales. And this would be what should be for a big month, the month of December. Reuters has reported that U.S. retail sales fell for a third straight month in December. It's further evidence that the wounded economy lost considerable speed at the end of last year. The ebbing economic momentum, along with increased unemployment, which has spilled over into the new year, could persuade the U.S. Congress to agree to President-elect Joe Biden's ambitious $1.9 trillion fiscal stimulus plan, which includes bolstering the responses to the virus and direct relief to households and small businesses. Retail sales dropped 0.7% last month. Data from November was revised downward to show sales tumbling 1.4% instead of 1.1% as previously reported. Sales, however, overall for the year rose 2.9%. The monthly decline in sales was led by a 4.5% plunge at restaurants and bars after many authorities banned indoor dining over the holiday season. Online sales tumbled 5.8%, and receipts at electronics and appliance stores dropped by nearly 5%. And remember, those are the numbers for December. U.S. stocks declined today on the double whammy of the new jobless report that was sent out yesterday and the downturn in retail sales reported today. Corporate earnings season officially kicked off today with shares of J.P. Morgan Chase down 2% after reporting earnings and revenue that topped consensus expectations. Investors were also weighing results from Citigroup and Wells Fargo, which both disappointed on revenue. I'll have those Wall Street numbers for you in just a bit. Amazon workers at an Alabama warehouse will vote by mail in February and March on whether to form a union. The National Labor Relations Board is setting a date for the closely watched referendum on the relationship between the largest online retailer and the employees who pack and ship its products. Bloomberg is reporting that a group of about 6,000 frontline employees at the fulfillment center in Bessemer, Alabama, will decide whether to join the retail, wholesale, and department store union. Typically, such votes are held in person or at a location close to the workplace. However, elections since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic have been conducted by mail. Amazon, the second largest U.S. employer behind Walmart, has largely avoided unions in its ranks, though some of its workers in Europe are members of labor groups. This vote in Alabama is the first in the U.S. since 2014, when a small group of technicians at a Delaware warehouse voted against joining the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. Okay, we'll forgive you if you've never heard of Playtika, the Israeli mobile game developer. However, you should know that shares of Playtika soared as much as 34% today, giving the company a valuation of almost $15 billion in its first day of trading on the open market. The jump comes after Playtika's Thursday IPO raised $1.8 billion for the firm, as 69.5 million shares were priced at $27 apiece. The share price exceeded the company's initial targeted range of $22 to $24, making the offering the largest Israeli IPO in history. And so you know, Playtika shares trade on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol PLTK. The pandemic has claimed yet more retail victims. Today we learned that Apple is closing more than 20 retail stores across Texas, Georgia, and North Carolina after COVID-19 cases continue to spike in those states. The company will shut all 5 locations in North Carolina, 5 additional stores in Georgia, and about a dozen retail spots in Texas. Apple previously closed its Dallas and Fort Worth area stores, but is now also closing locations in Houston, San Antonio, and Austin. The company's store in El Paso remains open. Apple's website said the stores are closing as of tomorrow, but the company said customers with products under repair will have an opportunity to pick them up. Well, it's been 4 years since we learned about how Wells Fargo cheated and created millions of fake accounts in order to pad their sales. Today, Wells Fargo, according to CNN Business, reported another $321 million of quarterly losses tied to consumer refunds. That brings Wells Fargo's 2020 total for what it calls customer remediation to a staggering $2.2 billion. Wells Fargo did not specify which of its many scandals were responsible for the latest refunds, which bank executives had previously suggested were in the rearview mirror. Instead, the bank said the money is primarily for a variety of historical matters. Well, that could include anything from the millions of fake accounts Wells Fargo admitted to opening to forcing customers to pay for unneeded auto insurance or charging unnecessary mortgage fees. How is Wells Fargo attempting to mitigate the financial loss? Well, over the next 3 to 4 years, Wells Fargo said it hopes to eliminate $8 billion of expense. How? Well, for example, the bank closed 329 branches last year and is planning to shut another 250 this year. No matter how much you hunker down during the pandemic, we still have to run some errands. Chris Kessel of Money Talks News reports that going to the grocery store could be a place where you avoid being for long periods of time. Unfortunately, shopping for essentials can put you at higher risk of contracting the coronavirus, especially if you remain in the store for too long, according to a recent New York Times report. In fact, if you shop, it's best to keep your grocery trips to 30 minutes or less, says Lindsay Marr, an aerosol scientist at Virginia Tech and an expert on airborne disease transmission. In fact, the CDC says spending 15 minutes or more within 6 feet of someone who has the disease puts you at great risk. Now, to stay safe, Marr and other experts the New York Times consulted also recommend that you wear a well-fitting mask at all times in the store and avoid touching your face. Bring a shopping list, including substitutes in case you can't find the items you want. Avoid crowded areas of the store. Maintain social distance at the checkout line and at the register. Wash your hands thoroughly after leaving the store, or if you can't get to a sink right away, use hand sanitizer with at least 60% alcohol and then wash with soap and water when you get home. Despite these warnings, Marr acknowledges there is no evidence that grocery shopping has led to large outbreaks or a significant amount of transmission. But best to be safe first. It was another down day on Wall Street, with the Dow closing off by 177 points at 30,814, the NASDAQ down by 114 points to 12,998, and the S&P 500 finishing the day 27 points lower at 3768. Major banks released their quarterly results, kicking off the earnings reporting season, and those numbers disappointed. Dow and Chevron both fell by more than 3%. Energy stocks dropped 4%, posting their worst one-day decline since late November. All of this on the heels of President-elect Joe Biden's American Rescue Plan to spend $1.9 trillion to prop up the U.S. economy, get help to struggling families, and assist state and local governments who have lost billions in revenue. And finally, there is this. The pandemic and subsequent work-from-home boom has increased our reliance on digital communication. And you know what's happening? It seems to be elevating our anxiety and paranoia at work. So what's going on? Well, back in the day, there were those impromptu office interactions, which sort of helped to reassure us that we're in good standing with the boss. Virtual moments are being picked apart as uncertainty about status proliferates. Employees are increasingly stressing about how they come over on Zoom or wondering whether that unanswered Slack message means that they're getting fired, exacerbating stress among those working from home. So what are you going to do about it? Well, experts suggest that bosses reach out with a phone call each week so there is more to the interaction than group Zoom meetings. Not a bad idea. Hey, coming up next, some things that'll take the edge off. Jeff Pitts is the managing editor for City View Magazine, and he's in to chat it up about stuff to do in the greater Des Moines metro. Some fun for all of us, and you deserve it.